Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you back, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining in, and the Lord bless you for your obedience and for your devotion to His Word. You'll never go wrong by studying God's Word on purpose, and that's the way you're going to study it. If you're going to study it, you're going to do it on purpose, and you're going to do it because you want to and not because you have to. Of course, we know after we do it because we want to that it is because we have to. We can't go without God's Word. If you're a sincere Christian nowadays in 2024, and you are walking upright before the Lord and trying to do the things that are pleasing in His sight, I'm not talking about that you dress right and you look right and you speak right and you smell right and all them kind of things. I'm talking about the condition of your heart with a humble and contrite spirit, and you're humble and wanting to do a willing heart to do the things, a willing heart and a willing mind to do those things that are right before the Lord. And whatever He says, whatever changes He wants to make, we're going to honor Him and honor His Word in our lives, and we're going to finish this life out and this race out right. You're going to finish right. No more of this world tripping up in the world. No more listening to what the devil has to say and his crowd, and what they say is right and wrong, or what is there is no such thing as right and wrong. What kind of nonsense is that? What kind of nonsense, childish? This world, the world is getting more childish and childish and childish every single day. Their thoughts and their ideas and their philosophies and all this nonsense that they're coming up with is a bunch of idiocy, and it's a shame. The Lord said they glory in their shame, and that's exactly what it is. For a man to say he's a woman and a woman to say she is a man is a shame to her. And it should be a shame, because it is a shame. It's a shame to even talk about it. And the Lord said they glory in it. They glory in it. They run around bragging on it and get others to brag about them about it. And all this nonsense, weird nonsense, and open sin and Sodom going on all over the place. We're not to be part of all that, and we're not going to be part of it. And just whatever they want to do, fine. Whatever they say, fine. And blah blah blah. But we mind the Lord. We honor His Word, and that's why we're here, is to find out what our God says about things from His book and from His words, and incorporate it into our lives and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Thank you for joining in today. We're going back into our study of the third study in the letter F of the ABCs of Christian Growth, which is fear and the fear of the Lord. Fear and fear of the Lord. We've had two recordings so far in this classes in this study so far. The first one, we've done an introduction, and we went over several definitions, trying to get in our minds with the scriptures of some definitions of fear. And so just to recap and refresh our minds, we talked about painful emotions and passion, excited by an expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger, remember? We talked about anxiety or solicitude, in other words, carefulness or concern, uneasiness of mind occasioned by the fear of evil or the desire of good. A desire of good, and we used the book of Luke in chapter 1 with Mary, whenever the angel approached her about going to bear the Lord Jesus Christ and going to be the vessel to bring the Savior into the world, that she was troubled by that, and she feared, but she feared for good reasons, because the angel told her nothing but good things. You know, you're highly favored, and that you're blessed among women, and told her all the good things. He wasn't condemning her, not at all, and then he turned around and told her not to fear. Well, what was she scared of? She was scared of She was scared of the desire of good. That, well, the angel's here. He's definitely here. I see him, and he's telling me that I'm favored before God, and blessed art thou among women, plural, and anxiety. What's going on here? But fear. Nevertheless, fear. We talked about that fear can be the cause itself of fear. We talked about that fear can be the object itself of fear. We talked about that fear is something set or hung up to terrify wild animals, and it can be used by colors or it can be used by noise. When we use scriptures about that in Jeremiah, where the Lord said that a noise will follow you, and you'll be scared of a noise. You'll be scared of a noise. Fear. Fear. The Bible talks about fear and teaches us about fear in many different avenues and aspects. In scripture, fear is used to express two different kinds of passion. Filial passion and slavish passion. Now, I had never heard of these until I started looking it up. And like I told you, I used that Webster's 1828 dictionary. Did you get you one of them? You don't have to get the dictionary. You can download it and get that 1828 dictionary on your phone or something like that. Just any old way that you can get it. You'll appreciate that, because the main thing I appreciate about it is that they use scripture to define things. They use scripture to define things and give examples and show you what it's talking about. Just like what we're doing right now. We're talking about fear and we're getting definitions of fear, but we're using scripture to define the definition, to define it, give us an example and a illustration, if you will. But in scripture, fear is used to express filial and slavish passion. Remember, we talked about that the filial part of it was that the fear of the Lord is a holy awe or reverence of God and His laws, to the point to which, excuse me, which springs from just a view and real love of the divine character, God Himself, leading us, the subjects of it, to hate and shun everything that can offend God. I mean, we start hating, ye that love the Lord hate evil, love what God loves. Hate what God hates. And this is filial fear. You fear God enough to become like Him. To become like Him. And not only to hate and to shun everything that's offensive to the Lord, but it inclines you to aim toward perfect obedience. Just like we're doing right now. You don't have to be here studying. I mean, you're here because you want to be. And you want to be obedient to the Lord. You're not here because you, my pretty face or my excellent teaching or voice or no blah, 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 and all that kind of gobbledygook. We're here to study God's Word and find out what God the Holy Ghost wants to teach us, and that we can be pleasing to the Lord and we can become more like Him and grow into the person of Jesus Christ and be conformed into His image. Yeah, and then there's that, what we talked about, that slavish passion. And that's where being scared of something comes in. Being scared of something. People say that fear is not being scared of God. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. You don't think people at the White Throne Judgment are going to be scared of God? You don't think you're going to be scared of God the first time you see Him, even though it's going to be a reunion for you? It's going to be a reunion. You're going to see the Lord that you've always had your faith in, that you walk by faith, not by sight, but you're going to actually see Him with your eyes. You don't think you're still going to be kind of fearful about that matter? And then when you stand before the Father and Jesus Christ presents you before the Father, it's going to be a good occasion, but you don't think you're going to be fearing? Come on, man. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, talking about going to hell, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And then it goes, Abba means like a passionate form of saying daddy. Saying daddy. We don't call him God or a God or anything like that. We call him daddy. We call him father. And we mean it like daddy. We don't mean it like the Catholics do. Father, my father, beat your father, Adama, and all that kind of stuff. We mean it like daddy. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That we're the children of God. But this filial fear, and the Bible says, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. In other words, it's good for you to fear God. I'm going to give you one heart and give you one way that you will fear me, so it'll be good for you. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Depart from me. That Slavish fear is being scared of the consequences of your guilt. It's the painful apprehension of merited punishment. In other words, you're going to get it. If you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that the wrath of God abideth on you. It's not going to abide on you. It already is. And God does not, Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Do you know why he didn't come to condemn it? Because it's already condemned. You are condemned without Christ. The whole world is condemned and cursed and on its way to hell and the lake of fire. And without Christ, everything and everybody that does not receive Christ as their Savior during this dispensation, and then, and of course, in different ways in other dispensations, which we got studies for that too, but in this dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God, anything and anybody that doesn't receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and confess Him as their Savior and believe in that God raised Him from the dead is going to burn. It's going to burn. Now, that's slavish fear. You better be scared of God enough to accept His Son as your Savior. Listen, when I got saved, I didn't get saved because of all the wonderful, wonderful love of God and the love of Christ and all this. And I'm not being smart-aleck or disrespectful to the Lord. I love God's love. But I didn't get saved because of everything I knew about God's love. I got saved because I believed that there was a God that had the power to put me in the lake of fire, and that if I died without His Son that He offers me to be saved, there must be a reason He's offering me His Son, and everything He says about my sin is true, so why wouldn't He be right about His Son? So, I took the way out, man. I confess Christ and believed in His resurrection and by faith because of being scared of going to hell and being scared of God putting me in the lake of fire like He said He was going to do if I didn't. Now I'm learning about His love and His fatherhood to me because I'm in His family. But I didn't get saved off of God's love. For God so loved the world one time. Jesus Christ came and died for your sins. That's the love of God at Calvary. That's where it stops. Anything else beyond that without Christ is the wrath of God. That's it, man. That's what the Bible teaches. Believe it or not, take it or leave it, whatever you say. But that's slavish fear, being scared of God. Being scared of God is a good thing. being scared of God. And the world, of course, and the devil, of course, and the flesh, of course, is doing everything it can and bringing and adopting every practice that it can to get away from that, to get away from being scared of God. They don't bring any evangelists. They don't bring any teachers. They don't bring any preachers that will say anything to make them scared of God and scared of God's book so that they will do something. You see, teaching teaches you the things of God. Preaching provokes you to put it in practice and to do something about it. That's why they don't want no preachers no more. That's why they don't want this kind of talking and teaching and stuff like that no more. They don't want to be scared of God. They don't want to be slavish. So they don't want slavish fear. They want filial fear. But not even filial fear, because they don't reverence God, because if they did reverence God really and love Him really, they would respect His, they respect the awe of God and His awesome. God is awesome. Well, if God is so awesome, then you ought to understand His power and you ought to understand His holiness and His eternal Godhead and the legalities of God. God has a courtroom and God has a legal system that's got to be dealt with every sin that ever sins in eternity. Don't you understand that? Every single sin that is against God, no matter how small, no matter how big, every single sin is against God. And somehow, some way, every person, every sinner, everything, everybody that sins and commits sin, those sins don't just go away. They have to be dealt with legally in God's legal system. And it's either going to be paid for by Christ or it's going to be paid for by somebody else. Every single sin, even born-again Christians' sins, have to be dealt with. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Has absolutely nothing to do with going to heaven and hell. Has to do with staying in fellowship with your Heavenly Father so you don't get your hind end blistered. You see that thing? But every sin has to be dealt with. Now, if you're dealing with a God like that, why wouldn't you be scared of Him? Being scared of God is a good thing, folks. I don't care who tells you anything else. If they tell you not to be scared of God, they're liars, and don't listen to a word they say, because they're lying to you. And I don't know what kind of God they got, but if they got a God that they can't be scared of, then He ain't powerful enough to do squat. Amen? All right, moving right along. All right, we're talking about the worship of God. The worship of God, talking about fear. It says, come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So, see, fear is also worshiping God and learning about the fear of God. The law and the word of God is the fear of God. Reverence, respect, and due regard is the fear of God. Is a definition of fear of God. And we talked about to feel painful apprehension and some impending evil. We talked about that. To have a reverential awe. We talked about that. And I didn't mean to go over every one of these definitions, but since we are all right at the end, let's finish up. To affright, to terrify, to drive away or prevent approach by fear. David was afraid of God that day, remember? Remember, he was afraid. His Bible says David was a warrior, man. He took on battles that most men would be scared to death to go into. David, man, he said, take this armor away from me. That's too much. Just give me a slingshot and about five rocks, and I'm gonna go out here and shut this giant up. He's defying God, and I hate him for that. I'm gonna go put a rock between his eyes, and he did. But terrify, to drive away or prevent, approach by fear. All right, so there are some definitions, and that gets us back into our study of fear, and just a little recap there. We began talking about causes of fear last time, remember? And we stopped about in the middle of it. We talked about that fear is caused by disobedience. Hope you went back over those scriptures. If you didn't, just remind yourself. Just read them again. I mean, you don't have to get into any kind of big in-depth this, that, and the other. Just reading God's Word. It leaves it inside of you, and it leaves it in your mind and in your heart, and it's there, and God the Holy Ghost uses it. Fear is caused by impending judgment. We talked about that. Fear is caused by persecution. We talked about that. And fear is caused by the events of nature. The events of nature right here in Florida where I'm at. We got hurricanes on the news as I speak. And it's hurricane season. It's right around September, October, and right in the middle of hurricane season. And there's been several this time. The Lord's been kind to us and drove them out of the way, some of them can skin ride by us, but as far as where I'm living right now, the Lord's been very gracious, but those things are very dangerous, and they will bring fear. When your roof starts coming off of your house, and the trees, great big 6-foot round tree, diameter trees, oak trees start falling and crushing your house and falling and killing people and falling on power lines and power lines falling all over the place. Events of nature and lightning and tornadoes and all that stuff that comes with it. Remember the scripture that talked about when Paul was on the ship talking about the Euroclodon? They even named a certain type of storm that mariners were respectful of. And they feared the events of nature. Okay, so we're going to pick up and start again on causes of fear. This is cause of fear number 5. Fear is caused by suspicion. Suspicion. What? Suspicion? Yep, suspicion. You've probably already had a memory about some kind of fear of suspicion in your life already. That you suspected something, and it made you scared. Acts chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, the Bible says, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples." Now, this was a scripture that we used somewhat on another definition, but it's good for this too. "But they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple." They was under suspicion. They kept him under suspicion. You know, watch that guy. He's the one who's been going around killing everybody and taking Christians by name and finds out somebody's a Christian, man. He was at Stephen's death and approved of that. No, we ain't bringing him in here. Don't you dare bring Saul in here. They didn't believe Saul was saved. They didn't believe he was a disciple. It says, "And with Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join with the disciples." He wanted to get with the church, get with his people, get with us, get with the church. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." He gave a little testimony about some salvation changes in Saul's character, and the same thing that ought to be in your character and in your being. If you say you're saved, your life ought to be different. Something ought to be different. But suspicion, fear is caused by suspicion. The disciples and the apostles and all of those, they didn't accept Paul right away. Barnabas had to bring him in there and say, "Look, he's saved. God saved him." And sooner people started coming out of the closet and peeking around the corner and everything else, started believing him. He wasn't handcuffing everybody and hacking their heads off and taking them, putting them in jail and stoning them and then burning them and provoking them to blaspheme and all that kind of stuff. He wasn't that like that no more. He was saved. He was a child of God now. God the Holy Ghost lived in him. Remember when, I forget the guy's name, Ananias came to him and prayed for him, and those things fell out of his eyes, and he received the Holy Ghost right then. Of course, that was that one occasion we received the Holy Ghost right when we're saved. That was different right then, but that's in the book of Acts, and that's how Acts does. It's a transition book. It goes from the Old Testament way to the New Testament, to the gospel of grace of God, gospel of the grace of God, the Pauline epistles, and transfers us over into the age that we're in now. But all good stuff, all truth. Fear is caused by suspicion. Suspicion. What else? Well, fear is caused by uncertainty. It is that, isn't it? Doesn't uncertainty cause you to fear? Not knowing the answers to everything, not knowing the outcomes of everything, not knowing the results of everything. And this life by itself, as crazy as things are getting in this life, and I mean crazy, I'm not just saying that. I'm saying what I see, man. Since I've been a boy and the changes that are in society now, things are uncertain, and the Lord said they're going to be that way. As a matter of fact, it said for us to rejoice when we see these kind of things coming, because the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And I'm glad of it. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. He could come tonight, couldn't he? I mean, what better thing could be? Nothing could be better than the Lord to say, come up hither, and all of us will go be with him. Even right here as we're speaking, what would be the last thing that we're doing on this earth is sitting here talking about God's word and talking about fear in the Lord and bragging on him and just giving glory to him and to his word and fellowshipping around his word, and bam, we're gone. Come up hither. Fear is caused by uncertainty. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Talking about the bride of Christ, talking about the Christians, and Paul talking about his jealousy over the new church. He said, but I fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. In other words, I'm scared because some bum is going to come along, just like there's millions of them nowadays, dressed all pretty and smelling all good and standing up there in the name of some Jesus and preaching corrupt stuff and corrupting people's minds, the bride of Christ, corrupting Christians' minds, telling them lies, telling them things that the Word of God does not say, or not telling them things that the Word of God does say. Paul was scared of that. He was scared of uncertainty, that the church was going to remain strong and secure and keep going, and he was worried about it. He was worried about it. He said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent, he knows who the devil is and what he's capable of, beguiled Eve through his subtlety, being trickery and lying and deceit. So your minds, your way of thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You see these studies right here? That's what I love about them. They're simple. They're simplistic. They're basic. They are the Word of God in its raw. And that's the way to get it. That's the way to get it. Just speak the Word, man, and let God the Holy Ghost have it from there. And every one of you listening to this out there right now, every one of you, God the Holy Ghost is working in your mind and in your heart with the same words out of His book that we're talking about, to establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? That's the simplicity of Christ. And Paul was scared that people were going to talk about, well, you got to have a B.A. and an M.A. and more applesauce and then a theological and education, and you got to have this, and you got to have Greek, and you got to have Hebrew. You ain't got to have diddly squat but the Word of God. That's all you got to have. And we all speak English. Learn God's word in the language that you know. You don't have to learn another language in order to validate God's Word in English. No, you do not. That's a lie from hell. That's a lie. You don't need that. Stay with God's Word. Keep it simple. And just stay with God's Word and trust Him. Trust God the Holy Ghost and trust God's written Word. And you'll be all right. Fear is caused by uncertainty. What else? Well, fear is caused by final events. Final events. Just final events. I mean, it don't get no plainer than that. Luke chapter 21, the Bible says, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity." Have you seen any of that lately? "The seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear." Man, the suicide rate has never been what it is now. Men's hearts failing them. They're blowing their own brains out. All your politicians are cussing each other out on national TV in front of the entire world, and just talking behind one another's back and blaspheming each other. All this nonsense. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. "For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Of course, that's talking about the second advent after the tribulation period, not the rapture. That's giving us a second advent scripture right there, giving us some prophecy there of the second advent. Talking about how society is going to be just before the Lord comes back. Men's hearts failing them and final events. You know, there's going to be a lot of people sitting around thinking, you know, maybe I should have listened to that preacher. Maybe I should have listened to them. Maybe I should have. I mean, look at all this stuff. Then there's going to be some that are going to be cussing God for making the sun so hot that it scalds them, and they're going to turn around and cuss God out. Just like that guy I told you about. "Come on down here, God, and I'll gouge your stinking eyes out." Oh, yeah. Why don't you come on up here and let's talk about it. Fear. Fear is caused by final events. What else? Well, fear is caused by death. Death's scary. Death is scary because there's nothing you can find out about death on the other side, other than what the Word of God says. Nobody knows what it's like. All these people go to Barnhouse Ministries and go to the part on there. I can't remember the title of it now. Click on Really, Really, and look at all those videos that I got on there of people saying that they died and they went to hell and they talked to the devil and they died and they went and talked to Jesus and they died and they left their body and they left for 23 minutes or they left for a day or they Jesus gave them 30-day escorted them through hell and told them and taught them and showed them all sorts of business going on like that. Look at those videos and look at that nonsense. And then look at the scriptures that I put up under that and talked about all that. Nobody comes back. When you die, you're gone, man. Now, I ain't saying that things don't happen to people. But what I'm saying is if it violates that Bible and it violates what the Word of God says, does and does not happen, then it's a stinking lie from hell. And look at all that mess that people are talking about when it comes to death, that they know so much about the afterlife after death. Nobody knows diddly squat about being dead, because when you're dead, you can't come back and talk to nobody about being dead. The only ones that came back and talked about it is the ones in the scriptures that the scriptures tell us about. And that's the Apostle Paul, that is the Apostle John, and that's several others that are exceptions to the rule. The rule is dead. Your body goes back to the dust where it came from. your spirit goes back to the Lord, and your soul goes somewhere permanently. One of two places. Period. That's it. You don't leave and go on field trips and come back. Or Prajna, or Nirvana, or all that nonsense. No such thing in the scriptures. Doesn't exist. As a matter of fact, it's spoken against and told you not to believe that nonsense. Fear is caused by death. The reason people come up with all these things and these people sit there on videos and lie to millions and millions or for all just for that, for millions and millions of likes. They get paid for people to look at those videos and sit there and lie about leaving their body. And I ain't saying they didn't dream something or something like that, but if their body died, their body starts dying and rotten and decaying immediately. And goes back to the dirt. And if they come back in it and it gets warmed up again and comes back to life, that's supernatural stuff. And somebody supernatural has to be the one to do it. And the Lord said He don't do stuff like that. And He tells us the exceptions to the rule and how that went on, like Jesus resurrecting them little girls and resurrecting the man. And like Peter and like Elijah and stuff like that. The Lord was kind enough to tell us all about that. But the only thing that the people were objects that God used to show His power. And He got the glory off of everything, not the people on YouTube. Go down there and look at it. Fear is caused by death. Death is scary, but it's not scary for somebody that's trusting in the Lord. Death means separation. You separate from your body. But death is scary for somebody that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ and doesn't know where they're going. That is scary. You better believe that's scary. That's why I got saved, because I was scared of death. I knew I was going to die, and that's what everybody on this planet knows, even the ones that say, I ain't dying. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I ain't going to die. I refuse to die. Really? Really, really? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also, talking about the Lord, likewise took part of the same, He took on flesh and blood, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, Satan, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, fear of death brings bondage. I'm scared to die. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't want to not know what's going to happen to me. So God's gracious enough to give us His word in writing and give you a copy of it so you can study it and read it and accept His Son as Savior and have His promise of eternal life and that you're going to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You don't ever go in the grave. Your body goes in the grave, but a Christian soul never goes in the dirt. Never. You go directly to be with the Lord. And the Lord will raise that body up one day and give it back to you, a brand new body, fashioned like unto Jesus' glorious body. Fear is caused by death. A lot of people are scared of death. Everybody's scared of death. You look at all your Hollywood. That is one of the biggest star attractions. You look at any Hollywood film that has ever been made, and somewhere in that film, whether it was a blockbuster or whether it was a dud, it had death in it. Had something to do with death in it. Check it out. Find me one movie that had nothing to do with death. Just one. I don't believe you can. People are worried about dying. And they should be. What else? Well, fear is caused by our enemies. By our enemies. Now, see, that's another thing that the world's trying to get rid of. You get rid of all the enemies, you ain't got nothing to be scared of. But the problem is since the 1940s, there's been, since the UN, since the 1930s and 40s, since the UN itself started up, there's been over 80-something wars in itself. There's no such thing as not having enemies. No such thing. If you're a believer in Christ, you have enemies. Yeah. If you don't have any enemies, you're a miserable person. Sin is an enemy. Death is an enemy. The Bible says the last enemy to be destroyed, God calls it an enemy. What is it? Death. The Bible says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. The Lord's going to get rid of death. And it's an enemy. Death is an enemy. But fear is caused by our enemy. Fear is caused by a death. And fear is caused by our enemies. All right, well, let's look at some scripture about that. Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah went through some stuff. Him and Ezra, boy, them people fought him and fought him. And even in the book of Esther, when Esther was saving all them people in Mordecai, they had enemies. I mean, Christians and people that love God have enemies. People hate you because of who you profess to believe in, and who you associate yourself with, Jesus Christ. They hate you for that. And you can imagine that they don't if you want to, but if you're going to try to live for the Lord, and you're going to try to do things right and please Him before the Lord, you're going to find out you've got some enemies. And not because you want them, but because they want to be your enemy. Just like David said, I'm for peace, but when I speak, they're for war. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 9 says, "For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work." This is talking about Nehemiah talking, writing about building that wall. And when they started building the wall and putting the wall back up, all these people started coming in and they were writing letters and talking about, well, the government rules and the OSHA and the this and the that. And, well, you know, the rules are and this, that, and they're trying to make them afraid. Trying to make them afraid. "For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin." In other words, they told him, "Come on, let's have a meeting. Everybody come and let's just have a meeting and talk this thing out. And as a matter of fact, won't you just let us join in and help you build this wall?" And Nehemiah told him, "This ain't none of your business. This is God's business and this is our business. We'll do it ourselves." And boy, didn't that make them mad. But they, all kinds of things, trying to, well, let's just get together and let's do this and let's do that and let's all be one and, you know, the same old stuff. "Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, that they might have a matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me." And that's the same thing your enemies try to do. You try to live for the Lord. They try to find something against you that they can reproach you or reproach the Lord or give God a bad name or give you a bad name. Yeah. "My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat." Those were two of the rascals that were bringing up a lot of nasty stuff, doing their very best to hate the Jews and hated them putting that wall back up around Jerusalem and everything, and done everything they could to try to stop it. And this is Nehemiah talking, "My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets." These were prophets coming, giving them all these troubles. "That would have put me in fear." They tried to make him scared of doing God's work. Fear is caused by our enemies. They want you to be scared of serving God. They want you to be scared. And they will try to make you scared and try to make you fear some way or somehow. Also, they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words to him. And Tobias sent letters to put me in fear. All through Nehemiah there and talking about Nehemiah and them putting that wall back up. I mean, it didn't take them a couple months to put that wall back up once they got going and everything else. But, man, the trouble, I mean, the trouble that they had to go through. I mean, talking about just the work itself as far as putting it up. I can't remember exactly how long it took them, but it wasn't very long once they had to doing the work. It ended up that they were holding a tool in one hand and holding a weapon in another hand. Because people were giving them such a hard time. And they all they wanted to do was put the wall back up around Jerusalem and glorify God and build a city back and do what was right before the Lord. And boy, all the God haters come out of the closet. And they do. So, what have we talked about? We've talked about fear and causes of fear. And to recap just a little bit, the causes of fear, fear is caused by disobedience. Be faithful, brothers and sisters. All the time of disobedience and all that kind of childish stuff and nonsense should be over with in your life. Be obedient to the Lord. Impending judgment. You don't have to worry about going to hell, but standing before the judgment seat of Christ, you want the Lord to brag on you. You don't want the Lord to be ashamed at some of the things that come up that you did while you were in the body as a saved child of God. Amen? Fear is caused by persecution. Gonna get it. If you're gonna, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Persecution, but so what? So what? Come on with it. Whatever you got, just do what you got to do. I don't want you to do it, but you're going to do it anyway. And Sanballat and Tobiah and all these prophetesses and all these godly people, prophets running around and everything else. When you start telling the real story about what the Bible says and what God says, people are going to start coming after you. Not because you want them to or you're provoking them to, but because that's what the devil's crowd does. Fear is caused by the events of nature. Yes, we know that. And God's nature can be powerful, and that ought to reflect some things to people, but they're too stupid to figure it out. You got a hurricane and you can't stop a hurricane. How are you going to stop God? You can't stop a tornado? Why are you good for nothing? Who are you? You can't stop a tornado? You can't stop a hurricane? You can't stop a tidal wave or a tsunami? Well, who do you think you are? You can't stop a little old thing like that, and you're going to point your words and your smart mouth toward heaven? Toward the God that made all that stuff? You better watch out. Lord love will send one of them tornadoes with your name on it. Fear is caused by suspicion. Fear is caused by uncertainty. Fear is caused by final events. Fear is caused by death. Fear is caused by our enemies. Fear. So, fear doesn't have to be a foreign subject to you when it comes to the Scriptures. Fear is talked about all over the Scriptures, and we've seen that. We see all kind of fear, and we see all kind of illustrations from the Scriptures about these fear subjects of fear that we've been talking about. You don't have to shy away from fear. We just want to know what God says about it and how we should feel about it and what direction our minds and our hearts should go concerning these things, because fear is real. Fear, as far as respecting and reverencing and being in awe of the Lord, and fear of being absolutely terrified of Him. you get on some videos or something like that and look at some of those people, pull up tsunamis and let them show you some videos of them tsunamis coming in, and look at the people. Look at the people. Look at the fear in the people. Just a little old wave coming in there and washing over their city. And the power that that water and an inanimate object that doesn't think, it doesn't eat, it doesn't go to the bathroom, it's just water. But the power that's in that water that comes in there and the fear that it puts in people. And then people ain't scared of God. Some of them cuss God because of that water. People are funny, aren't they? People are funny. Not me, man. I'm giving my God glory. He's getting glory from me because he deserves it. And your God does too, our God. He deserves our devotion and our glory and us glorifying him. He deserves it. He takes good care of us, doesn't he? Amen. All right, well, let me give you the scriptures for this, and we're going to stop right there, and we'll start our next class concerning and talking about another factor concerning fear, the effects of fear. The effects of fear, not the causes of fear, but the effects of fear, okay? All right, so here's some more scriptures to add to the last ones that I give you. Here they are. Acts chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 2 and 3, Luke chapter 21, verse 25 through 27, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, and the last one for today is Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 9, chapter 6, verse 9, verse 13 through 14, and verse 19, all of them in chapter 6. You could just read chapter 6 and you'll get the gist of everything. The reason I broke that up like that was just for time purposes, but you read chapter 6 and you'll see Nehemiah talking about how many different times these people tried to make him scared of doing what God wants him to do, you know, and just trying to cause him the enemy trying to cause fear in you. Amen. That's the last one for today. All righty. Well, the Lord bless you. Thank you for honoring the Lord. God bless you for it, brothers and sisters. Don't underestimate. God keeps good. God has books. He has books. And these things are being written in those books. What you do, what you just got through doing in the past 53 minutes, 54 minutes, studying God's Word, it's been recorded. And the Lord's keeping records. And He knows. And you've got nothing to be ashamed of studying God's Word and wanting to know more about the Lord and more about His truth. God bless you for doing that. The Lord give you and pay your bills and roof over your head and bless you and your family and yours. Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one, okay? If the Lord will. Bye-bye.